Now I want to speak to you out of this 13th chapter of Revelation. And in that fourth verse, we have a description of this world dictator called the beast. And he reaches a point where no one is able to make war with him. They're all afraid of him. He has such tremendous power. And then in the second place, in verse 7, we're told he has power to make war against the saints. He has no room for anybody that believes in God because he's getting ready to be God himself and to have an image erected to him. And then accompanying him is this religious leader who pays all homage and tribute to him. And this religious leader calls down fire from heaven. That's what Elijah did at Mount Carmel. That's what some of the disciples said that the Lord should do, call down fire from heaven against these that cry out against you. But this ecclesiastical personage will call fire down from heaven. And it'll come down in the sight of all men. And when men see this tremendous miracle of fire falling out of the heavens in obedience to his command, and then he turns around and says, here's the beast, erect an image to him and worship him, they all do it. And then on verse 14, if you'll notice that one, he and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of the miracles which he had power to do. And this great Antichrist will work all manner of miracles. The only thing is that when he gets through making the image, the miracles, he says, now here's an image of the beast over here. You erect that up and you bow down and worship it. And if you don't, you'll be killed. And we're right back again to the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 13, Moses said, if there come unto you anyone and he work a miracle and he comes and works these signs or these wonders, and he tells you to follow another god, thou shalt not listen to him. And the powers of darkness, the forces of Satan, do have supernatural power. This was seen in the miracles of Egypt, where Pharaoh and his satanic counselors were able to match miracle by miracle in the great plagues of Egypt. They did it. And you have now this fantastic deception which arises. And the Lord says that that will be one of the great signs of the end time. Be not deceived. And the biggest problem that you and I have right now is trying to keep Christians from being deceived. That's our big problem. Christian people are being deceived with vain words and with appearances and all sorts of things, and we're witnessing a fantastic program of deception. And this deception is abroad now in our own country in relationship to the struggles in which we're now engaged. But, beloved, this question of fear, who is able to make war? We're all afraid of it. And there are two things in relationship to this fear that you and I have to recognize. The first is that if you trust in God and let Him be your guide and strength, you won't have that fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. And your fear is in relationship to your trust. And when men turn from God, then fear arises. They're just like a pendulum, they swing. As your faith in God gets stronger, your fear dissipates. And as your faith in God gets weaker, your fear arises. And fear is related to unbelief. Always related to unbelief. And courage is always related to faith. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge that they'd been with the Lord. And these disciples of our Lord had such tremendous courage and tremendous boldness because they'd been with the Lord and they knew Him and they saw Him. Now, I was so thrilled as I saw these young people, and they told how their faith was strengthened, how they've come back stronger, and what's happened. Well, they've been somewhere where they've seen where the Lord was. And they were thrilled in being on the earth in the geographical location where our Savior actually lived and ministered and wrought His miracles and gave His great teachings and then went and died for our sins as our Savior and was raised from the dead. And He's going to come back to that very city. He'll come back to those very spots. And then He'll straighten things out and give us a new Jerusalem in the eternal consummation of things when the holy city comes down from God. But these young people revealed to me a great strengthening in their faith. And with it came this strength in their position. And the strength of our position, the strength of our concept right now is the fact that we do trust God, we believe in God, and we say every morning, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, if you're certain that God is so great and God is so powerful and God is going to take care of you, it makes no difference who it is that's going to be against you. You're not going to be afraid. And my problem and your problem right this very moment is that we're dealing with a nation which has the words "In God we trust" on its coins, but people don't trust Him anymore. They trust the coins, but not the God. And as a result, we've got fear and uncertainty and hesitancy. And in all that I've seen, do you know why that our nation hasn't been willing to proceed to go ahead and win that war? There's only one reason. We've been afraid. Our leaders have been afraid. It's been coming from so many areas. They've been afraid to move up to Hanoi and do anything or stop that harbor. They've been afraid to do anything for fear of what might happen with Red China or the Russians. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. It bringeth a snare. You get afraid of man, and you're not willing to go and do which is right, that which is required before God. You're afraid to do it. My beloved, if you won't get rid of fear, then you come close to Christ and trust in Him. You want to have fear dissipated and removed, then you rise up and hold up the name of the living God and look to Him to undertake for you, and He will. It's our faith that brings victory. It's our faith, love, that casts out fear and enables us to put our trust in the blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I look down this passage and I see who's able to make war, well, He's so big. Then He makes war with the saints. Why doesn't He make war with the people that aren't saints? Why doesn't He make war with the people who aren't saints? Because they're willing to accept His power and His ways, and there's no resistance and there's no question. And here are the saints over here that have another God and they're serving another testimony. And so He makes war with the saints. And so we read that the kings of the earth have conspired, they've joined together, they've taken their counsel against the Lord and against His anointed. And when I read passages like this and I see them, and I look at our estate now and the conditions we find ourselves in as Christians, we're not disturbed at all. It's the most natural thing in the world for them to try to put our college out of existence. Just as natural as can be. They're making war against the saints. That's what's going on. It's just as natural as can be for us to be afflicted with the type of attacks and assaults that come at us from every side. Why? This is the issue, and you see the forces, you see the way they work, and they're outlined in that passage just as clearly as can be. And now we're moving into a realm where man is touching science and things are happening, and you're going to have some man arise and he's going to call down fire from heaven and he's going to put up a beast and he's going to breathe life into that thing, and people will sit at that and say, isn't that magnificent? Go and worship this beast over here. Here he is. And we say, no, we will worship the man of Galilee who went to a cross 2,000 years ago. And we will not accept an impositor in His name. We won't accept a substitute for this one. We will listen to the one whose miracles said He was the Son of God. We will listen to the one who said He would die and be raised from the dead in 3 days. We will listen to Him. And we will listen to the one who went up into the heavens and was received out of the sight of the apostles. And the angels came back and said, this same Jesus, this same Jesus, this same Jesus is coming back again, and you will receive Him. And we're going to worship Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ. We worship Him tonight. That's what we're doing, and that's what we've done. And no one can take His place. No one will intercede or interfere. We will not permit it. We will die before we will bow before that kind of an image or bow before such demands as that. And so it is, we have faith without fear. And that's what God's given us in Jesus Christ. Now these next 3 weeks, I want all of you people who are listening to me, wherever you are, I want you to go out and not be afraid to tell people that you're for victory over the enemies of this country. I want you to get out and wear your signs. I'm proud of it. I want you to stand up, and regardless of what people may say or do, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to be in this great affair, and I'd like to have you go with us. I want to have the greatest ministry of testimony and evangelizing and speaking to others. You've got an occasion now to speak. You've got an opportunity to raise some questions and get to talk to people. This is the one issue that you hear everywhere you go at the present time. And you've got an opportunity to just step right up here and raise this question and say, here, we're afraid of them. You're afraid of them. We're not. Let's ask God to undertake for us as a great nation and deliver us from the peril that confronts us. And God will do it. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou art this kind of a God, a glorious God. And now, as we close this service, we thank Thee for the blessing and the inspiration and the challenge of it. For Christ's sake, amen.